If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
What's up, Nation? How you doing? This is Billy Ray, and welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. Today is a special day. Myself and the innovator of violence, Tommy Dreamer, taking it to you with AEW and NXT Breakdown. It's also Dreamer's birthday. 49 years young and still going strong in the world of pro wrestling. We're talking Nyla Rose becoming the AEW Women's Champion. We're talking Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley headed into NXT Portland. We're talking Inner Circle. We're talking, does NXT need to get out of Full Sail to be able to compete with AEW perception-wise on TV? The Wednesday Night Wars continue, and we're going strong here on the Busted Open Podcast. Turn it up. I think you tweeted a couple of days ago that you have now wrestled in 4 decades. Is that true? Or something like that?
5 decades. It's
5 decades would mean five.
Shh. Let me explain life. The 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, the 2010s, the 2020s. That's 5. King Kong Bundy style.
Okay, so you had your first match in the 80s?
89, brother. October 28th, 1989.
Do you still keep that book? You keep a record of all your wins and losses?
Stop telling people what I do.
Yes. Seriously, do you still have that book?
Yes, I still have that book.
So for everybody who doesn't know out there, Dreamer has a lot of books. He's been keeping a record of every match from the day he started. So he'll have the date, the town he wrestled in, the building he wrestled in, the guy he wrestled, or whatever match he had that night, and the outcome.
Win-loss record, and as well as if it was like a gimmick match or if it was a tag match, I wrote down my partners.
Do you think you won more matches or lost more matches?
Oof, I'm on the other end of that win streak.
Exactly. You've lost more matches, and you're more over for it, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a gift. It's an art form. Not many people get it. You don't have to go over to get over. And speaking of getting over, did you get to see both shows last night?
Abso-freaking-lutely, man. I don't sleep anymore. Sleep is for the weak.
Damn it. I'll sleep when I'm dead.
Exactly. I loved both shows. I love both shows for different reasons. And we will discuss it, but I thought AEW by far blew NXT out of the water.
I'm watching last night, and I think it was as crystal clear last night as any other night. And I'm going to, like, once again, forget about the in-ring product. Forget about the action. It's the crowd, man. It's the crowd. There's a huge difference in 500 people and 5,000 people, or however many AEW had last night. And that AEW crowd in Austin, Texas was on fire. They were having a blast. And then you switch back over to NXT, and despite NXT putting out a really strong in-ring product, that Full Sail crowd is just... They're very hit or miss. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with those fans. I'm just saying they are not nearly as lively as the AEW fans. I felt it last night, and I sent out a tweet this morning before we started, Tommy, and I'm going to ask you your opinion. Is it time for NXT to take their show on the road on Wednesday nights and put their product in front of fresh eyes in this Wednesday night war?
Absolutely, for the progression and the growth of the brand, because you would look at a takeover and it's night and day. And, I'm not even saying they have to do it all the time, but if we go back to the past, you were around when we were going to ECW Arena all the time, and the fans started getting, I want to say, we would break a table and they were just like, ECW, ECW. So we left. And we left to make the fans appreciate it more, because, or there was also times where, oh, well, I know they'll be here next month. And maybe I don't want to go just this week, you know, for full sale, because they're the same. A lot of it are, they are, they're recurring fans. And, you know, in ECW, we went away. We also, you know, created the Madhouse of Extreme, which actually started a rivalry between Philadelphia Arena and the building in Queens, which who was the best fans. And I agree 1,000%. They need to just go to some other places just to take it to a different level, because it is. It's all about, you know, we used to wrestle in Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, in a bar, the Flagstaff, which a condemned building that literally fell off the side of the mountain. And the energy in that place was amazing, because we took this super cool product and called ECW, we took it out on the road. AEW is taking this super cool product. It's out there. It's the cool thing to do on a Wednesday night. And you look at everybody in the crowd. There's young, there's old, there's male, there's female. Most of the people got a beer in their hands and they're having a great time doing what we sit here and do. We're watching professional wrestling and it's a fun show. Also talking about another, you know, progressive veterans, like someone like Goldust, you know, going out there, and you could tell he's having fun. With the biggest thing, you'd always say it, I'd always say it, WWE live events are fun. You could talk to the crowd. I mean, I even heard Goldust yell at the crowd, like say something positive, everyone reacts. You know, I remember at a time in WWE, we were told we can't do that. You can't do that on television. You're not allowed to.
There was a specific little moment that stuck out in my mind last night. If you watch an AEW show and wrestlers are fighting on the floor or by the guardrails or near the crowd, that crowd is going crazy. They're so happy to be in that TV shot. They're up on their feet. They're cheering. They're snapping pictures. They're going nuts. They're having a great time. Last night, I think it was in the Angel Garza-Leo Rush match, which I loved because, first of all, I'm becoming a bigger and bigger fan every day. There was a fat joke there, by the way. I'm becoming a bigger and bigger fan of Angel Garza every single day because he reminds me so much of Eddie Guerrero. And it was Garza versus Leo Rush. I mean, how could they have a bad match? It's almost impossible. They haven't had bad matches. I think Garza front suplexed Leo Rush onto the guardrail. Everybody in the front row just sat there. They just sat there as if nothing happened. There was no there was no emotion. There was no people cheering. There was no nothing. It just seemed so dead. And I know if I'm a viewer at home and I'm watching, I'm like, all right, yeah, the action is really cool. Not taking anything away from the action, but man, where's the vibe? Where's the energy? Where's the enthusiasm? Where's the piss and vinegar? And I really do like the comparison that you just made to the ECW arena, because when you're in the same freaking place every single, listen, we're at the arena every once a month. They're in Full Sail four times a month, once a week. It's human nature to kind of get burnt out at times. You're familiar with your surroundings. You know what you're going to get. It's hard to have that organic response every single time. And last night was, to me, it was night and day. I kept going back and forth, and just the enthusiasm of that crowd carried that show through. And AEW put on a really strong show last night. It was a really entertaining show from start to finish. And you can see them tightening their screws every single week. Did you see a definitive difference in the product this week, Tommy?
Absolutely. You know, we even talked about before, I've noticed because I'm crazy, production stuff, shots being missed. And, you know, that's why you do have agents who are making these calls like, hey, this is going to probably come up, happen now. And, you know, all the people who worked for or who work for AEW worked for Impact and TNA. And I would notice a lot of missed shots on dives, even missed finishes early. Now they're hitting everything. They've never had sound, like miking problems with the crowd. They had it a little bit in the beginning. That's kind of worked its way out. It's baby steps, you know. I would say the only production issue I saw was lighting on Britt Baker. There was actually a shadow on her as she was talking with Tony Schiavone, which phenomenal heel character that she is. And, you know, we also talk about taking it out on the road. You know, Britt Baker cut this awesome heated promo, and it's extra kudos to me when an attractive woman could actually get heat. And, you know, there was Francine was one of the best at it, and like, because normally guys will just cheer for a girl who's super duper hot, but Francine used to go out there and it was her job to be a heel and get people to boo her. And Britt Baker goes out there, and we talk about, you know, a difference between Full Sail and being, you know, her shot at Whataburger in Austin, Texas. You would never be able to say that, you know, in WWE, but it's taking that local heat and making it into something bigger. And it wasn't cheap heat. It was ripping up, you know, what everybody likes over there. And, you know, Bubba, also, man, you think about TNA. And, you know, even when they made the great decision to go head-to-head against Monday Night Raw on Monday nights, what would we always say? You got to get out of the impact zone. Because some of those pay-per-views were excellent pay-per-views, and fans were different. But when they were coming and doing TV every single week, they would just hoard them in from the park. And they, you know, at some people weren't even, like, wrestling fans. They're like, is this Family Feud? This isn't Family Feud. Why am I here? And, you know, you'd have a person, you know, doing cheers and boos sometimes. That's not a wrestling crowd. But AEW is totally catering to a wrestling crowd and having that whole wrestling dynamic. Even, dude, they sing Jericho's song when he comes to the ring. I haven't seen that since Sandman. Though, you know, they did it with Nakamura, but there's nobody singing it because there's no words. Those are special, like, special things. John Moxley coming through the crowd, because if you remember back in the day with WCW, you could see stupid Justin Roberts when he first was on television, when X-Pac debuted. John Moxley comes through the crowd. What is everyone doing? They're mugging for the camera. You know, people are trying to take a selfie as this super cool character is walking through the crowd. And it's like, did you see me on TV? Look, dude, I see that. I go to all these sporting events, and when they're not even on television and they're showing a picture of a person sitting there, all they do is they wave, they jump, they do it. People like to see themselves on television. That's in an arena. These people are seeing themselves on national television. It's great.
SiriusXM Fight Nation celebrates Black History Month every weekday at 2 p.m. Eastern on The Akin Barak Show. All month long, the show reflects on the life and legacy of different influential African-American athletes, such icons as Muhammad Ali.
I'm the king of the world.
Kobe Bryant.
You guys will always be in my heart. I love you guys.
Jackie Robinson.
Robinson dashes for the plate. Safe.
And more. Will be recognized for the impact they made both in and out of sports. The Akin Barak Show, weekdays noon till 3 Eastern, only on SiriusXM Fight Nation.
And we got Adam Cole versus Kushida. Once again, another, you know, strong match. Adam Cole, supposed to be the big heel in town, gets a lot of babyface reactions. First and foremost, Tommy, the match. What did you think about the match? What do you think about Kushida so far in NXT?
First, you know, every single week, all the matches are pretty damn solid. This week, I would just say NXT was a safe show as the go-home show to Portland. But the wrestling is excellent. It really is. Kushida has been, I don't want to say he has been performing at the Kushida-like levels, but he's not where he was like he was in New Japan. And that has nothing to do with him. That has to deal with the push that he has received, or the good old pencil. Listen, man, from the opening match to the last match, again, every match super-duper solid, but there's just, you know, even when Charlotte was on backstage, she's like, you know, I was nervous in front of those 300 people because it was kind of like going home. 300 people, when you're doing, you know, studio taping, it's also one side of a thing. You heard the reaction of the pinfall, and it was, eh, yay, he won. When you saw, if that match was inside the ECW arena at an NXT taping, or wherever they just were on the road. Let's say they shot matches from Vegas on a house show, stuff like that. It's the world of difference. And I'll get back to, you know, Impact Wrestling. We just wrestled 3 nights in a row at Sam's Town. And a lot of times when we talk about the behind the scenes or the pencil, they're saying, well, we got to put like, Dreamer, can you work? Because we know we'll get you'll get the crowd into it no matter what the house is. Because Impact was worried when NXT was going up against Impact in Vegas the same day. They wound up with almost, well, Saturday, turn people away, all full houses every single night with wrestling fans. And when that building packed and with different crowd, and also like when you're taping television, you sometimes lose the audience, but the flow of the show, you don't lose the audience. That comes with the booking and that comes with the placing of the show, I would say. And again, NXT, safe, go home show. And some things were, you know, the Riddle and what's his name, Dunn, kind of doing like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is just like, okay, you know, I don't think that did anything for either of the two guys. It's kind of like whoever was the writer liked the Bill and Ted Excellent movies and was just like, well, Matt Riddle sounds like he smokes pot because let's put him in that spot. And it was just like, eh, you know, didn't do anything to help those guys. I get where we're trying to go the other route, but it was lame.
When NXT announced that they were going to go on Wednesday nights head-to-head with AEW, I said to Dave, and I might even talk to you about it, that I thought it was strictly a defensive move by the WWE. I did not look at it as offensive. You just used the word safe. You felt last night was a very safe show. Safe, to me, is a very defensive move. So we're basically saying the same thing about the show. Is it right for NXT right now? And let's just go by the ratings. And it seems to be like AEW is really stepping on the gas. After last night's show, I wouldn't be surprised if they hit 1 million viewers. Do you think safe is the right way for NXT to be going right now?
Absolutely, because they've... Listen, when you...
Absolutely, yes, they should be safe.
They have to be, because when you're bringing in all these different names to try to pop a rating and it's not popping the rating... It's, you know, it doesn't make your overall product look good, especially if you're bringing, like, you know, when they bring in the Charlottes or they bring in all these other people from the other brands. It's, I don't want to say changing the booking because the booking is pretty solid. But, I mean, when I say safe, if anybody looks at that entire rundown of that show last night, did anybody think that the losers had a chance of winning in any of those matches? No. Everyone could say this person's going to win, this person's going to win, this person's going to win. As opposed to AEW, when you look at all those matches, you could say at any point, I don't know who the winner is going to be.
Well, I got to kind of disagree with you on that.
Okay,
because did you really know who was going to win with Angel Garza and Lio Rush?
Yes.
How?
Because Garza's getting a push on Raw.
Yeah, no. Time out. That's behind the scenes. You couldn't tell that
no,
by watching
match. Yes, I could. I know that they're not going to, I would say they're not going to beat Hector. Lio Rush is not going to beat Hector Garza at all. Angel or Hector. How about that? I'm old. That when I say safe, it was an easy, predictable show. If I love the upsets. I love looking on a Sunday and saying, oh, which football team's going to win? And then what do they talk about? An upset. There was absolutely no, even like Kushida versus Adam Cole. You know Kushida's not going to win. Because why? Because he's not featured in the main event in Portland. So
we got Cole and Ciampa coming up, right.
So what I'm saying is it was a safe show. There was nothing wrong with it. I don't have the vision of in WWE, it's more of a competition anymore. It's like we're just going to sit back and see if AEW makes any mistakes, and we'll keep on doing our thing just because we have to. And by playing it safe is by playing it safe. You know, Bubba, you also, when you had that great talk about the pencil and everything and the eraser, there's other factors that always play. And I don't want to call it, you have a vision. If you're a writer, if you're creative in wrestling, you have a great mind. I have a great mind. Chris Jericho has a great mind. But Edge has a great mind. Me and Edge were talking about what he wanted to do for the Rumble. Man, it was phenomenal. And it didn't happen the way he wanted it to happen. There's always other people, unless it's your company or unless you have the 100% book, that your vision is going to happen. You know, and you can say, well, I want this match to happen this way. And then somebody, you know, an agent chimes in and then a writer chimes in and then they go to Hunter. And then there's all the politics and behind the scenes where that vision gets changed and altered. On a show like that, there was nothing because it was, like I said, it was a safe show. And
right. I got to stop you for a second because you took me down a road here that I'm really interested in. Okay. Are you willing to share Edge's vision? For the Rumble?
No, because it was a personal conversation.
Okay, so let me ask you this. I'll just ask you this. Was Edge's vision for the Rumble more exciting than what they did?
It's, to me, 50-50.
Okay.
But, like, I could talk to you. You know, I help out in Impact Wrestling, and there's four other people there. And I fight about a lot of things because I'm totally against it. And at times we also have to have a vote because I'm like, I'm not for this. Let's do this to get a bigger payoff eventually. But then there's other people in the room. And sometimes, you know, JR always said, and he taught it to me because I didn't have that in ECW. I had free realm, which was going to be the best for the product with no politics. And JR was like, I'm not going to pick this hill to die on because it's not that important. But to me, and I say this about everybody, everybody is important. Every wrestler is stock. When Angel Garza wrestled, what's his name? Cedric Alexander?
On NXT yep. last night?
No, on Monday.
On Raw. Raw.
Yes.
Did Cedric, anybody yes. think that Cedric was going to win? No. Because they have devalued his stock. But if they kept him going the way his push was going, him having a great match would have helped Garza. And then all of a sudden, when Humberto, is that his name? He hit the ring. Now we have three stars. And that's how, for me, wrestling should always be. But it's not. And that's what really sometimes bothers me with wrestling. And you know what? I don't see that in AEW. And I, like I said, my biggest problem with WWE is they say there's going to be no more brand split and everyone's going to stick to the same brand, but they don't. And yes, I understand why they do it, but then you got to make up your mind. I'm so confused. Chelsea Green, she debuts on Raw. Yeah, everyone's happy for her. And then all of a sudden she's with the brand with Robbie E. Now they're talking about rebranding them.
I think I know the direction they're going in with them. They're going to be like D-list stars.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
I don't know about you, but I popped seeing Jeff Cobb coming out. And what I love the fact that AEW did something different. They swerved us. They gave us a Jeff Cobb vignette earlier in the show. And I think Jericho might have even dropped his name in Jericho's backstage. And like people on Twitter are like, Hey, Bully, did Jericho just say Jeff Cobb's name? And then all of a sudden, you get Jeff Cobb at the end of the show. I'm a huge Jeff Cobb fan. I think the world of him. Your thoughts?
I love Jeff Cobb ever since I've seen him wrestle. I was happy to have him on House of Hardcore shows, and then he's just his career really, really blew up in the sense of, you know, I know Impact wanted him, Ring of Honor wanted him, he went to Ring of Honor, and now, you know, according to the internet, he's no longer under contract with Ring of Honor, though he's scheduled to have a match with them. Looks like he's AEW bound. And yes, I did like the swerve. I loved him coming down. I understand it too that Moxley has no friends, but he chose that way, so that's why he got his ass handed to him. It's going to be cool to see who comes to the aid of John Moxley one day as well, if he wants to be that, you know, guy who does everything by himself. You can only get so many ass kickings before someone wants to come and help you. It's it'll be an interesting storyline that you can go that way too, that he doesn't want any help. I don't think Roman Reigns will come and help him, nor Seth Rollins, so he better find new friends.
You need new friends, and you need them quick. We're friends like you. Who needs enemies? Cobb is so ridiculously strong. I've got to see this guy for like the last year to 2 years in Ring of Honor. And he, you know, he's a legit wrestler. Listen, can throw you from here to there. Obviously gets the comparisons with Taz because of all of the suplexes that he does. Cobb's strength is ridiculous, Tommy. I've seen him take 300-pound men like Shane Taylor. And I'll try to describe it. I've seen Shane Taylor, like, give Jeff Cobb a high cross body. And when you get 300 pounds moving in one direction, to bring it to a dead stop and then bring it into another direction is it's impossible. The amount of strength and muscular stability and endurance it takes to do that, and I've seen Cobb do this to guys like Shane Taylor, where he takes their weight at a dead stop, reverses them, and hits the tour of the islands. We talk about Taz and his innovative throws back in the day. Cobb is doing that innovative stuff now, and I really think that Cobb belongs in front of an AEW audience because his style and his throwing ability, I think, is going to get him over in an instant with that AEW fan base.
Absolutely, man. I mean, you said it great. And you've seen him more recently working with Ring of Honor, doing his stuff, and it's maturing as a competitor. You know, he caught on fire on the indies, and then he went to Ring of Honor, worked with better people, worked on television more, and, you know, and it's not a knock against like a Ring of Honor, but I always, you know, if you think about the business, people came from the independents to ECW to either WCW or WWE. This is now the progression where these companies need to say, hey, okay, we're not going against Ring of Honor needs to say, we're not going against WWE or AEW. We need to do something different. This needs to be a place where wrestlers are cutting their teeth and taking, if we can afford to keep them for as long as possible. If not, you got to let them go. Same with Impact Wrestling. And because now the playing field is AEW and WWE.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley standing face-to-face, cutting good promos on each other. A couple weeks ago, I said that I really liked Rhea Ripley's stature and her presence. And I didn't feel like any of the other women, probably like maybe a month or 6 weeks ago, were able to stand there and look as impressive as Rhea. But I got to tell you, Tommy, Bianca and Rhea face-to-face, I bought into it. And Bianca's game is strong. Last night, she looked great against Santana Garrett. Basically a squash match. I mean, you want to talk about laying your shit in. She was throwing some live rounds. She was getting herself over. She was looking good. From the minute that woman's music hits, until she gets into the ring, her physicality, her athletic ability, her ability on the microphone. I mean, like I said on the bump, I think the world of her as a performer, and I think the sky's the limit. What do you think we're going to get out of Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair at NXT Portland?
You said it since the Royal Rumble. For me, it's been since Survivor Series. This woman continues to step up. I'm enjoying them. They have been the MVPs of NXT each and every week, and I want to say that they are the top guys in NXT, and that is nothing but a compliment. She has the it factor. She can work. She can talk. She's officially my favorite bumper, and that goes along with like the Pat Tanakas of the world. And she just has this crispness, this it factor about her. She has a presence. I want to be her manager so I can get a braid to cover my bald spot, and it would be. I do. I think she's amazing, and Ripley is off the charts, putting the rocket on her for any brand. She's a star. They're both stars. And when you have that star power, it does nothing but help you. And at TakeOver Portland, they're going to steal the show.
Do you think, listen, we've seen Charlotte come out and be interrupted by Rhea. Rhea chasing Charlotte for the WrestleMania match as opposed to Charlotte chasing Rhea for the NXT Women's Championship. Bianca sitting back and going, hey, what about me? What about me? I'm standing right here. Don't forget about me. Do you think there's a chance in Portland that we see Bianca Belair defeat Rhea Ripley so Rhea can go into WrestleMania against Charlotte? Do you think Charlotte would still want to work Rhea at WrestleMania even if there wasn't NXT gold on the line?
I say make it a three-way, and it would be phenomenal. The three-way worked last year at WrestleMania, and having those three amazing talents in the ring together, the fans win. And I'd pay to see that match, and I don't pay to see anything. I want comps for everything, but I would pay to see that match. And that's, again, an ultimate compliment for a wrestler to say to another wrestler. Those three women would earn my dollar to go out there and perform in a three-way.
Based on athletic ability and wrestling ability, do you think Charlotte Flair, Bianca Belair, and Rhea Ripley could have a better three-way dance than Charlotte, Becky, and Ronda?
Ooh. Listen, man, Ronda was the it factor in that deal because of her, how she was getting pushed, her name. You know, you said it and you bring it to the masses when you talk about Ronda Rousey's getting you on all the other talk shows. She's getting more household names because of what she did outside of the WWE. I think Ronda was that it factor for that WrestleMania main event. You know, like when I'll go back to all the way to the first WrestleMania, Mr. T being in the main event of WrestleMania. If there was an actor today that wanted to do that, I don't think it could happen. But someone who's an MMA artist, like the Brocks, like the Rondas, Ronda was the it factor. I don't think they could main event it. So WrestleMania, I'm not saying work-wise, I just don't think the WWE inner circle would view that as the main event of WrestleMania. But I would say the other match, athletically, this match would be better with the girls from the NXT. But star power-wise and with the man and with Charlotte and with Ronda, that match was way bigger.
Well, I was definitely talking about from an athletic point of view. Star power-wise, you definitely can't come close to the main event of WrestleMania last year. But when I look at the athletic ability of a Bianca Belair, who is a superior athlete, forget about a wrestler. Mark Henry found her, and he saw the athleticism in her, and then she transitioned really well into the WWE. Rhea, also a superior athlete. What I see in these two women is a great command of their athletic ability. And when you have that athletic background, when you're in athletics your entire life, and then you become a pro wrestler, it makes things a lot easier because you're very aware of yourself and your athletic ability. There have been plenty of people who really weren't athletes back in the day, but somehow found a way to become a successful pro wrestler / sports entertainer. But when you do have that athletic background, like a Charlotte had or a Sasha Banks had, like you're seeing in a Rhea Ripley, or you're seeing King and a Bianca Belair, I think it makes a world of difference. Last night, Bianca did this, like, just an opening little spot with Santana Garrett where she did, you know, the handspring off the ropes, blah, blah, blah. I think she did a back elbow. And then she nipped up, and it was so smooth, and it flowed so well. And when she stood up, I said to myself, I was like, holy shit. I mean, I've seen that done a bunch of times before, but the way she did it looked so good because of her athletic ability. And I think the three of them could probably have a better athletic wrestling match than Becky, Charlotte, and Ronda. And I know I'm going out on a limb there, and I hope it's a strong limb because I'm going to get killed for it on social media. No big deal.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
Last night, we saw a big title change on AEW in the women's division. Nyla Rose is now your AEW women's champion, defeating Riho. It was an exciting match, and I think it was one of AEW's best women's matches that I've seen. Tommy, I'm looking at this match from a lot of different angles because the wrestler in me looks at the psychology of the match and I cringe a little bit. The fan in me loved the match because it was so exciting and there was so much fan involvement with all the false finishes and the girls working extremely hard. What were your thoughts on the match, your takes on the match, and do you see where I'm coming from with the psychology?
Yes, because, you know, it was David versus Goliath. It was great psychology. I enjoyed the match, too. And yes, you know, the fans were so into it. When the fans are into it, it makes the match even better. You know, we would talk about if you go to the match of matches, you know, the match that drew the most amount of people, Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant, wasn't the best wrestling match, but the people were so into it. This match, both women are beyond athletically gifted, and they told a great story. I remember the first time that they worked, and there was a couple of hiccups in the match, and that was not the case in this one. And they went out there, tore it up, and now we have a new champion, and I'm happy with the decision.
Okay, so through the fans' eyes, like I said, it was very exciting. I liked it. They told a good story. And most importantly, the fans ate it up. And here's where I have a problem sometimes with some of the things I see on matches with younger wrestlers. Deep into the match, we can agree that Nyla probably is three times the size of Riho and outweighs her by probably about 100 pounds, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So deep into the match, Nyla hits a Death Valley Driver or a Death Valley Driver-esque move off the second rope onto Riho and gets a two count. Okay, fair enough. I think I can buy into that. Man, 10 seconds later, there's Riho hitting two Snapdragon suplexes on Nyla. Come on, man. Come on, Tommy. How?
I agree. I didn't look at it that way. Like I said, Hogan versus Andre wasn't the greatest match. But what I agree what you're saying psychology-wise, but the fans were super-duper into it, and sometimes you just got to step back. I would have, you know, built it up. Or would I, you know, I don't know how, if you agent or how I agent, I will throw this at people and then ask them why. Why did you do it that way when you could have done it this way or little things? You know, I posted the other day, I didn't even remember that I did it, was me body slamming the One Man Gang and how I was a younger, stronger Tommy Dreamer, but I still was making him the One Man Gang. He charged at me. I moved out of the buckle and he turned around and with momentum and with losing his air, I was able to scoop him up and slam him to the rafters. Those are little psychology things. Or I remember earlier going for the slam and getting crushed on my back. That's just telling the story. And, you know, that will come. But again, the fans were really, really into the match, and they were into the outcome. So it, you know, it still worked. You can't tell somebody when you we work for the reactions. You can always have changes in a match, and I will say this to everybody. You know, whoever Gerrit Cole is, the highest paid pitcher in professional baseball. He makes more money than some teams' entire payroll are. He does not go out there and throw a perfect game all the time. He does not go out there and throw a no-hitter every time, and that's his job to do that. He makes mistakes. He throws he walks people. He gets home runs. He actually loses games, but he's still the best player and the highest paid. So, you know, people are going to – you learn from your mistakes, and that's why you have veterans that help you learn from those mistakes. That's our job, to help try to pass that knowledge, because think of all the times we messed up. I remember a young Bully Ray who wanted to do a dive onto Tarzan Goto, and I was like, dude, don't do a dive. He's not going to catch you. And you're like, dude, it's Corrigan Hall. I got to do it. And now you walk with a limp because you did that dive and messed up your ankle. And I had to sit next to you and coach with Saturn and smoking section for 14 hours. My God.
That was worse, but you're completely wrong with the story in my ankle. That did not happen there.
You did hurt your ankle in that match. Thank you very much.
No, I shattered my ankle in the very first match at Barely Legal.
I understand that, but you first hurt your ankle when you dove over and Goto didn't catch you like we all told you to, and then you and Perry...
my fat foot caught the top rope.
Okay, well, that's called gravity, and 400 pounds shouldn't be jumping over the top rope. But again,
I shouldn't have been in the main event my first time in Japan. It should have been you.
Okay, Taz.
Yeah, okay. Taz wasn't even there. He didn't make the cut, brother.
No. Taz, in his first ever match, refused to do a job to Barabas, who was the promoter in Puerto Rico. It's a great story.
Tremendous. We could sit here and tell great Taz stories for about 7 hours. When you're watching that Nyla Rose versus Riho match, and you know the psychology isn't necessary correct, but you see the reactions of the fans, which way do you find yourself going? Do you find yourself a little angry and disappointed in the psychology, or do you find yourself leaning with the fans and being entertained by the match?
I go by listening to the fans, and it's not doing spots for spots. And then if I'm the producer, or if I'm the person behind the scenes to try to help them, I go to them and I say, hey, dude, I will go back and look at, I don't watch any of my old matches, but a go-to spot of mine versus Raven in this great, awesome feud where everything we did was amazing. It wasn't. Shoot, reverse. Raven goes for a drop kick. I hook the ropes. I give him a Ric Flair knee drop to his balls. He'd pop up, sell. And what would I do? I would shoot him off. I would make a man run that I just kicked him in the balls or dropped 250 pounds on his balls. What I'm trying to say is, back then, I thought it was entertaining. If I did that today, I'd want to have somebody kick me in my balls. So it's just different times. And, you know, you and I know this. From, you know, you posted it and then I posted it, the four-way headlock that we did in Japan. And we did it like, oh, these kids with their spots, and people like, Terry Funk did that? How could he? The old school headlock, we used to happen in battle royals all the time in like the 70s. And people, there's so many classic pictures of this like chain of just a simple headlock. And if you think of how the business has progressed, I've seen people put people in legs, leg holds, right? We scorpion it all the way up to everyone has a hold. And the people, it's just a different way to form entertaining holds. But to answer your question, I hope when people go back and learn from their mistakes is while they will improve as a performer. If not, you're not going to take your career to the next level. You're just not.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.